So I've got this thing where we've got Logic to record the podcast with on the Mac. And I've now got the app on my phone, which I've had for ages, but I've never used it. And what you can do is you can set it off recording whilst not being anywhere near the Mac by using your phone.
And that helps for lying down and recording.
Because we're doing a new lying down podcast.
Yes. We were going to call it the Lying Podcast, but then we thought, no, Donald Trump must do one of those already.
So this hopefully short 30-minute podcast is going to be about, riffing around the themes of the song The Only One from the Style From Ivy album Circularity, which is kind of, you know, the seed which kind of the whole Circularity project grew from, really. And the central idea of it is, you know, the word is used in the lyrics in the song is around the idea of impermanence, which, you know, feeding around to circularity, it's, you know, the circular economy is, you know, it talks about the take, the make and the dispose, and then all that stuff kind of staying there, you know, sort of forever, but that usage being of an impermanent thing. And The Only One really centres in on that more Buddhist idea of impermanence, which is the idea of, you know, sort of living for the now, living in the moment, knowing that death is an inevitability, and, you know, we're all taking part in the cycle of samsara, effectively. Those of us that are alive right now, here and now.
So it's a bit, it ties in quite well to the radio show that we've done this week, the quote on there, which was, to live is the rarest thing in the world, most people just exist. It was Oscar Wilde. So when we talked about that, we said that tied in nicely with this idea, because, as you say there, a lot of people are not present, not in the moment. They kind of just go day to day, and that's a lot of the way that the Western ideals sort of set us up to live, isn't it? Is to have money, to buy things, to go to work, to do the same, to keep buying, to keep consuming, to keep purchasing, if you will. Whereas that Buddhist ideal and that way of living, of that impermanence, is that nothing is fixed and nothing is there, so you don't have you don't own things, like, in the same sense. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about this idea of samsara, effectively. Samsara is like the wheel of life, this cycle of death and rebirth that we continue to go through. And, you know, that effectively is suffering. And the consumerism, or the consumerist society that we've created, is effectively a society of suffering. In that, if you live to that system solely, you'll never break the cycle and you know, achieve nirvana or moksha, which is this kind of enlightened state. You know, you're an enlightened being when you kind of attain Buddhahood. You know, it's fascinating, honestly. When I first learned about it, it made loads of sense, because you just think, yeah, you know, it's an analogy, of course, but, you know, that idea of the day-to-day grind, the, you know, the suffering, the everyone getting ill, everyone dying, that's a fact of life. That's a thing that is definitely gonna happen. And, you know, it's almost like we're kidding ourselves by creating, you know, this idea of afterlife and this idea of living to be rewarded later and things like that. I mean, that's a sort of separate theme in itself, but the idea that money, you know, and success in terms of notoriety and fame is the kind of top end of what we should be achieving, you know, and that just creates suffering, because that constant looking for the next thing, grasping, reaching out and looking, it means you're never ever happy, you're never content with anything.
Yeah, this sounds like a couple of the themes that we've touched on before through different podcasts. One with Sabri right near the beginning about transcending things and stepping away from the ego and the owning things, where we've talked to I think it was Rich, where we talked about the next thing and the next thing and always going for that, measuring what success is, and he had his four tenets to work by in the workplace that could help you move away from that sort of viewing. So it's something that's kind of been a thread through quite a few things of how people have talked to us about how to live your life. And it seems a thread that goes through a lot of people now, especially when you hit times like we're in at the minute and we're going to stay a Brexit-free zone. But when you've got things that are happening where people are struggling for money and struggling for things, essentially, not just food, but things, yet the ideal that everybody lives to is that to be keeping up with the Joneses as it is now and doing all that sort of stuff, is you've got to have that big TV, you've got to have that new sofa every 3 years, you've got to have those designer labels, that perfume from different people. It's it's weird. We built up this neoliberalism viewpoint of how an economy should work with capitalism and all that sort of stuff, and it's not working that well for us, is it, from a happiness perspective?
So the four noble truths, which are part of the teachings of Buddhism, are the truth of suffering, the truth of the cause of suffering, truth of the end of suffering, and the truth of the path to end that suffering. And that's kind of, you know, what we're talking about is realizing what suffering is and realizing the cause of it effectively, which is this kind of, you know, next step, constant grasping for material things effectively. And I suppose, yeah, the way you achieve enlightenment according to Buddhism is by knowing the path to end that suffering effectively. And that's known as the Eightfold Path. So the Eightfold Path speaks about, you know, the escape from the suffering and that journey. So it's really, really simple. And if you take these ideas and kind of use them in your life, it makes you very mindful as a person. And, you know, when you speak about Buddhism, or you say the name of any kind of religion, people sort of sometimes have a response of like, oh, we don't need to really take that necessarily that seriously, but actually...
So I wouldn't... That's one thing I would jump in on, is I wouldn't consider Buddhism a religion.
No, I suppose it's kind of more of a philosophy, isn't it?
Yeah, and a way of living, whereas it doesn't ascribe this tenet of, if you don't believe what I believe, you're going to hell, like a religion would, or a lot of religions do. It kind of says, well, this is a really good way of doing stuff, come along and join us, but if you don't, cool. That's always the way I've seen Buddhism.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can split the Eightfold Path into three, really, which are wisdoms, ethics, and...
concentration.
And it starts off with right understanding and right thought, which then goes into right speech, right action, right livelihood, and then right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. And if you use, you know, those eight things basically as a way to live your life, effectively you're on the Eightfold Path, which is the path to end suffering. And, you know, I mean, you can go really, really deep into all of those things and what they mean, but that would take longer than 30 minutes, a lot longer.
Yeah, I think this is something that you, if you're interested, it's something to go away and look up and read. I think this does usually touch on the points that Rich Gittes made in the podcast we did with him, and his four tenets there, with the last one being don't be a dickhead, which is essentially the right stuff there, about being nice to people and all the rest of it. Yeah, I think in these times it's one to remember these points and these ways of thinking. It's not just about to other people as well. It's right mindfulness is about yourself. It's about thinking, give yourself that day to reset, relax. Don't always be thinking about others. Take the time to give yourself time. And I think in this modern world, that's something I've been finding a lot, is if work's busy, if home life's busy, if everything's cracking off and there's lots going on and you're doing things, sometimes the first thing that goes, and I've found that myself with some of my training and learning I've been doing, is the first thing that goes is the stuff that I control. I don't give myself that time to take that mental health day or take that hour to sort of reset myself or that time for some self-improvement or self-learning, because my idea is, well, I've got to do this for somebody else, or I've got to make sure that they have the time to do what they need to do. I think it's becoming more evident to me that it's really important for people to take the time to make sure that they themselves are all right in themselves.
I'm just looking a bit more, actually, at the Eightfold Path, and, you know, there's some places where they use different words, but I think if we might dive in just a little bit on each one, where we're talking about the right view, is that our actions have consequences, that death is not the end, and that our actions and belief actually have consequences after death. And that is around the idea of karma and rebirth. And karma is really, you know, it's a really misused idea, you know, that you do something bad, so something's going to come and get you. The actual, the real kind of idea of karma is something very different to that, which is around, you know, rebirth in a lower realm or a lower state or something like that.
Yeah, it's not so much immediate. It's the idea that how you are in this life will reflect in your future life. So these are extremes and probably not very near the truth, but say you're living your life now and you're really good and you're really great and everything, you might come back as a tiger. You're not living your life so great, you might come back more as a cockroach.
And there's also like different realms of existence, even. They talk about things like hungry ghosts and, you know, different kind of layers of reality, and we live in one particular layer, and you get like demoted to another layer, or you get promoted to another layer, and this kind of human world is only one of those kind of layers of existence. The right resolve or intention is the giving up of home and adopting the life of a religious mendicant, and that's just about, you know, this sort of peaceful renunciation to an environment of non-sensuality, non-ill will, away from cruelty, and contemplation of that impermanent suffering and non-self, this idea of like getting rid of the ego entirely. So that's that kind of intention stuff. The right speech speaks about no lying, no rude speech, no telling one person what another says about him, the gossip stuff, basically.
Yeah, that's one of the first things we should... I do that with Eric all the time, is telling him that really you shouldn't be lying. As people... Because, you know, kids, they all tell little white lies about, did you do this? No, I didn't. Did you do this? Yes, I did. It's just going... Don't worry about telling me the truth. I'm not going to be angry. Nobody's going to be angry about you telling the truth. We're going to be... It's the right thing to do. What we shouldn't be doing is lying, because then you can't trust the word of somebody, can you?
And the next one is kind of the key bit, which is the right conduct or the right action, and that's about no killing or injuring, which is why, you know, Buddhism is generally associated with vegetarian or veganism. And... no taking what is not given, so stealing in effect, no sexual acts, no material desires. It's about that kind of control, basically, that self-control. You'll notice that these are, I suppose, every kind of religion or religious philosophy, if you like, will have the, you know, it's not a million miles away from the idea of the Ten Commandments, is it really, where it's just like a moral code, really, this Eightfold Path.
Yeah, and these are ideas, aren't they, to live by rather than beliefs. So they're really good ideas, but the bit about no killing or injuring, some of the Buddhist monks take that to the extreme where they try not to even hurt microscopic organisms as well, don't they? They take brushes around with them, they walk barefoot, they don't sit down without clearing the space with a brush before they sit down, so they don't squash any bugs if they can be aware of that. So there are multiple layers to that again as well, aren't there?
Certainly a very mindful way of being, without a doubt. And then right livelihood is only possessing what is essential to sustain life, really. So our westernised consumer lifestyle would go right out the window instance.
You wouldn't have an app for a Mac on that.
No. The right effort, which is preventing the arising of unwholesome states. So, you know, restraint of the sense faculties effectively. And then right mindfulness is around what's called the Dharma, which is the teaching of Buddhism. Mindfulness is given all kinds of you know, weird spiritual connotations. It's not. It's just about being present. That's basically it. It's about not being absent-minded, being very conscious of the now and what you're doing right now, and having that awareness of the impermanence of the body, the feeling and mind. So that, you know, this state doesn't last forever, and that could be in terms of the physical self, but it could also be in terms of your response to an emotional thing. So you get really, really angry. It's recognised, I'm really, really angry, but this emotion is just like...
It's fleeting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not my entire being, it's not my entire form. It's that thing about being the impermanence of the body. It's living in the moment, isn't it? It's people being aware that you're going to die someday. Literally, from the moment we're born, we're all dying.
Mm.
So live life as best you can, to the best you can, treating everybody the best you can.
Yeah, yeah. And then that the sort of right concentration or the samadhi is, you know, that practicing the meditation. And that, I mean, that goes a bit deeper. You probably need to get into it a bit more and read around it a little bit. But it's the processes of particular Buddhist meditations that will allow you to kind of, you know, really, really get deep and have insight and wisdom into how it all works. Have you ever read that story called The Egg that's online? It's been turned into an animation as well.
No.
That's worth a look, because that's, I would say that's probably something that was what I was thinking about a lot when I wrote The Only One, lyrically, you know. Mm. And that is this idea of, you basically, it's this perspective of, you know, someone's died and they're talking to God effectively. And that's revealed as it goes through. But it's the idea that, yeah, when you died, you know, you left behind some memories and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, people were really sad about it and all that kind of thing. But it's slowly revealed that actually that wasn't your first life. And it won't be your last life. And then you're actually going through this unending cycle. And I won't give the game away, because it's really worth a watch. There's an animation on YouTube. If you search The Egg on YouTube, and it's this animated short film. It's quite a beautiful idea, the idea of this never-ending cycle to kind of grow yourself. And I thought that was really good. And it really, I don't know, there's some ties into the samsara idea with that, for sure.
Yeah, and I think... Yeah, I'll certainly look for that tonight and have a watch of that. It is that ideal, isn't it, of always trying to be better and improve. It's a constant thing with human beings, isn't it?
Yeah. But I don't think it necessarily needs to be around owning and, you know, having things. I think it's more about the development of, as a person, and constantly being open to new ideas or new approaches, and, you know, being empathetic, being altruistic, understanding that everyone else is suffering as well. Everyone else, you know, has these kind of wants and needs and desires that perhaps our sort of global economy isn't best suited for.
Yeah, and it's one of the things we all worry about, especially those of us with anxiety and stuff, about how people perceive us and think about us. And actually what you find is people don't particularly think about it as much as you think they do. They, when you're thinking, everybody in the room is looking at you when you're talking and stuff like that. A lot of the time they're not. And if you flip it to how you may act in a meeting or a group or a crowd, a lot of the time you're not paying attention to the person that's talking or anything either. And everybody's just the same.
That fear of judgment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fear of being judged by others, for sure.
Yeah, it's a difficult one to get over, because we're brought up to almost believe that everybody else's opinion of us is more important than our own.
So, coming back to that idea of, like, you know, being mindful and living in the moment and being present and all that stuff, I suppose that's kind of a key place to leave this podcast, where don't worry about too much into, you know, the future or what other people think or external factors, or worry about what happened in the past and people's opinions and all that sort of stuff. It's about living in the now, because the lyric is, you know, you won't be around forever, you won't be around till kingdom come, so live here in this moment, the only one. And that's kind of, yeah.
Hey, you know these lyrics really well. I think it ties into, it'd be good if you are listening to this and you haven't been to the website before, go and take a look at circularity.org and look for the values, the Bs, because I think there's quite a few in there. And then if you've got time, check out the other podcasts. There'll be a really good one with Dr. Rachel Chin.
Yeah, which really covers a lot of this theme of this song.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, so there's a big backlog of podcasts, and most of them have got descriptions that can tell you that. You can find them where you found this one. You can find them in iTunes and everywhere else like that, Audio Boom and all the rest of it, Spotify. So yeah, go have a look at the backlog. Find them on circularity.org. That's probably the easiest place to go and find everything and all the disparate themes and avenues that the project's taken that come together there at the website. So
flash of brilliance, a flash so insecure. We keep it safe and shackled and hold it like a prisoner, lamented and assured. Assured of brighter futures, assured of greater things ahead, eventuality. It's nothing but a fiction, nothing but an anomaly, so give it air to breathe. Just give it air now. You won't be around forever, and you won't be around till kingdom come. So just live here in this moment, the only one. And we wait for love, and we break for love, and find the only one is opening a door. As we fake for love, we erase the loving of the only one who'll catch us where we fall. So catch us where we fall, 'cause we won't be around forever, and we won't be around till kingdom come. So just live here in this moment, the only one. And when we understand this notion, that everything that's ever been will go, our impermanence is only the only one. The only one. Yeah. They won't like it. They won't like it. You're the only one, the only one at all, the only one at all. Cause you won't be around forever, and we won't be around till kingdom come. So just live in this moment, the only one. And when we understand this notion, that everything that's ever been will go, our impermanence is all we have.